Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Let's just do everyone a favor on this episode of KKHI, and we will start with news and politics instead of sports. We'll push the sports back because Mizzou lost to Kansas City in college basketball on Monday night. And I see no point in bringing it up to start the podcast and going into great detail. We'll get to it a little bit later, as it was quite a surprise for a lot of folks, as UMKC is in their third year under Billy Donlin. But it says an awful lot about Mizzou. We will talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. We'll begin today with something serious in nature, and that is the continuing decline of the President of the United States. Joe Biden has done more appearances, and every time there is some sort of an appearance or episode or news conference or event or anything that he does, there's a terribly embarrassing moment, from flatulence to his hair blowing funny outside to forgetting his mask, which he did again yesterday, or in this case, Kamala Harris steps to the podium and the announcer introduces the other woman up there who was with something else, not her. They couldn't even announce the Vice President of the United States properly at a podium at a White House ceremony, the biggest moment in the Biden presidency, because he's passed his $1 trillion, whatever it is. And they're taking their victory lap and they can't get that right. And Biden is disheveled and he can't read the teleprompter, and it's another messy event. He also had a Zoom call, a virtual meeting with Xi Jinping of China. And he had previously said, Biden had previously said in June, when asked, because he had bragged that he flew 17,000 miles with Xi Jinping and that they were old friends, and that now that he was President of the United States, that the relationship between China and America would be so great because he's known this man so long and they have such a relationship. And of course, the Bidens have made hundreds of millions of dollars off China since Joe Biden became vice president many years ago in 2008. But then in June, he distanced himself and says, we are not old friends. He knows what the polling says. The polling says Americans don't like China. They don't trust China. They think the virus came from China. We don't like the fact that we are reliant on China for computer chips and all kinds of products that are sitting in ships off the coast of Los Angeles, coast of California. So Americans have a very low opinion of China right now. And now Biden knows this. So he said in June, oh, we're not old friends. We're not old friends. He had referred to him as his old friend. And then Biden bragged in June, we're not old friends. We can't classify as old friends. Well, the second they have a Zoom call together, a virtual meeting, Joe Biden and Xi Jinping, the first thing Xi Jinping says is he's happy to be on the conference call with his old friend, Joe Biden, and goes into this detail of how far they go back and how good of friends they are. Xi Jinping is simply embarrassing Joe Biden. That's what that was. It is so easy to embarrass somebody with kind words. You know, Xi Jinping's a smart guy. He's a shrewd dude. Okay, he's got complete and utter control in China, and will for many years to come. And the first thing he does is insult Joe Biden by saying, my old friend Joe Biden, because I think Xi Jinping thought they were friends. I think Xi thought, well, I've given hundreds of million dollars to Hunter Biden and the Bidens. We've enriched them personally from some of the dealings that have taken place. And now, as a matter of comfort for Joe Biden, or I don't know what the better word would be, convenience for Joe Biden, in June, he says, no, we're not old friends. So the second they get on the Zoom call, Xi Jinping says, hello, my old friend. It's just so bad. Everybody everywhere can see it. CNN has done a story about the presidential staff and the vice presidential staff infighting, that they don't get along at the White House. This is not surprising, nor is it the first time that's ever happened. It's almost a tradition at the White House that the presidential staff, they know they're better and higher ranking than the vice presidential staff. But in this case, it's quite possible that the vice presidential staff is sitting there and they know they're terrible. They know Kamala's terrible. They know the approval's low. They know she has no power, no authority. They know she can't get anything done. But they're watching such an inept presidential staff botch everything at every turn and cater and coddle Joe Biden, that there's intense frustration that's absolutely legitimate by the vice presidential staff. And so my response to all of this is, and the point of saying this is, I think I talked about this a few months ago. We didn't do it in a monologue. We didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I think I brought it up a time or two. Donald Trump used to take all kinds of heat from the media for firing people or reassigning people or banishing people. They would stay part of the administration, but the reports that would come out that, you know, all of a sudden Steve Bannon has done something that's upset the president, so he's in the back of the room now. His voice isn't being heard as much, and eventually Bannon would leave. And we saw all this turnover in the Trump administration. We saw all these people that challenged him, took him on. What you get at a White House, when you have one person that's the president, what you get is a whole bunch of smart people around this president that try to become number one in his ear. Sometimes it's the chief of staff. Sometimes it's the vice president. But sometimes others that work there think they are it. They're like, wow, the president's really listening to me. And I think that was the case with Trump. And so he had a whole lot of type A personalities. Biden doesn't really have that. Biden has a lot of ideologues. He's got a lot of people that I'm sure made really good grades in college and can read a book and take a test and do really well on that test. But it doesn't seem to me, as I watch these people speak, as we know who they are and watch them operate, it doesn't look like there's a bunch of alpha males there, or alpha females, if we want to say that. I'm not trying to be sexist. He's surrounded by men and women. They don't seem to be particularly strong people. They seem to be too mired in academia. They're a lot geeky. Not a little geeky. They're a lot geeky. So I'm sure everybody's looking around the room trying to figure out, you know, whose place is what. And Biden, of course, is as weak as they get, period. And it was different than what Trump had. Trump had a whole bunch of alphas in the room. And that was going to create problems. And everybody knew it, but that's the way Trump operates. He surrounds himself with alphas. And if one of them steps over the line, he gets rid of them. Everybody made fun of this. Well, here we are, you know, almost 11 months into the Biden administration now. And what do we have? We have the weakest president we've ever seen. Are you telling me that he did such a great job of hiring people around him that nobody should have left or be fired by now? This is not a bad thing. It was portrayed under Trump that what you want is, oh, Trump hires his people and they all stay there for 4 years and everything. That's not how it works. This is high level stuff. When you hire a brand new staff from scratch, hundreds of people, you're going to terminate some, and some are going to leave very quickly. It's not going to be a good fit. You're not always going to get it right. The weakest thing Joe Biden is doing right now, because he has a duty as president of the United States, he has an absolute duty as the commander in chief to ferret out the people that are hurting. And I'm not talking about policy here. I'm talking about infighting, distracting from what's important. There's chaos at the White House. There's no question the CNN report is right. There's no question there's chaos between the two staffs, the presidential staff and the vice presidential staff. There's chaos within the presidential staff. That's almost always guaranteed. By now, we should have seen some public firings. By now, we should have seen some comments that he doesn't support this person, or this report that these two people are now in the back of the room and not being heard. We should have all that, but we don't. We don't, because those people collectively are the people running the country. And Biden just takes it. He doesn't know where he is. He frequently says on camera and in front of a microphone, I'm not supposed to do this right now. I'm supposed to do this. I mean, he just outs himself over and over that they tell him what to do. They tell him how to act. They tell him when to wear a mask. They tell him where to sit. They tell him all this stuff. And I'm not saying that there isn't decorum around some of these events, that other presidents don't do some of the same thing, but you totally get the feeling by watching Biden that he's taking orders from these people. They're saying, we got to pass this. We have to do this. We have to go to do this about climate. You know, he's not sitting around going, okay, this is what it's going to be. The next 60 days, here's what we're attacking. We're going after this, this, this. And he's not. He's getting that from others, and everybody knows it. And CNN knows it. And for them to put a story out about chaos at the White House is truthful, I'm sure, factual, but it's also a sign of their frustration. People on the far left are incredibly frustrated that Biden is not some sort of president. What did they think they were getting? And they all voted for him. Is this what you think? Is this what you thought you were getting? In fact, if you're in the media and you voted for Joe Biden, you really blew it. You really blew it because you knew you weren't getting the leftist you wanted. You knew you weren't getting a strong president that could get anything passed. He was not going to rally people behind him and be popular and, you know, do all this stuff. You knew that wasn't going to happen. And just by definition, because you're in the media, you would have all been better off with Trump winning. All of you. You should have all voted for Trump. CNN has lost 76% of its viewers since Joe Biden took over. Like, CNN's in the tank. They can't get a million viewers in any day. They can't get there. It's crazy what's happened. They should have known. Trump was better for them. Trump was better for them. Look, when you go vote, what do? You mostly go vote for your personal best situation or choice. That's what you're voting for. Think about it. These people in the media, they should have all voted for Trump. They weren't getting what they wanted with Biden. It wasn't like AOC was on the ticket. They weren't getting what they wanted with Joe Biden. So they were in a no-win situation, and they just accepted it, and now they're all complaining about Biden because he's not a very good, well, it's not that he's not a very good president. He's a terrible president. Everyone knows it. All of the polls reflect it. They're not getting what they want, and their readership, viewership, listenership, whatever it is that they do, way down. They're getting clobbered in their own personal careers. The losers here are going to be the media on the left. There's no question. That's where the losers are going to be. That's taking the biggest hit by far, and they got 3 years to go. The best thing that can happen for the liberal media is for Republicans to take over next year in the House and Senate. Then they can have the boogeyman again. Then they can go for 2 years. Oh my God, this is so scary. What if you pair Trump up with a Republican House and a Republican Senate? What if this happens? That's what they need. But the serious and the honest point is there is absolutely a duty for the president or the chief of staff, Ron Klain, somebody to step up and say, look, we have problems here. Let's get rid of some people. Let's call them out. Let's get them out. Let's clean this thing up. We owe it to the American people. Forget the policy part. Just as a matter of governmental function and how we operate, no business is so good that you hire hundreds of people and in 10 months, everything is just rosy. There's no way. It's time for some of them to go. Whatever the fighting is between Kamala's staff and your staff, you know who the pot stirrers are. I mean, it's easy. We've all worked in a workplace. You know who the pot stirrers are. Get them out. Clean it up. Somebody step up and be tough. Trump did it. They thought it was mayhem, but what he was doing was actually calming the waters at the White House by getting the people that were causing the mayhem out of there. Truly, that was the case. I mean, this outfit of people cannot even properly introduce the vice president of the United States at the biggest ceremony of the year. Fire somebody. Accept resignations. Move people around. Make the changes necessary. Joe Biden owes that to the American public. KKHI is presented by 360 Document Solutions, a great consulting firm for you and your business. If you run a business, man, they're going to save you money. Anything from IT solutions to mailing systems, phone systems, copiers, printers, you name it, 360 Document Solutions will give you a complimentary analysis of all your doc technology and IT programs. They'll review it for you, no pressure, give you an absolute quote on how they can save you money and make you more productive. Then it's up to you. They're also hiring people right now, hiring good people that are afraid of losing their job, that believe they're going to lose their job because of mandates from Washington, D.C. If you know someone or are in that situation, call Mark Lindquist. He'd be interested in talking to you about a professional career at 360documentsolutions.com, whether it's a techie or a sales rep. 360's hiring, 913-745-5344. And of course, the holidays are a good time to buy a new car. See, a lot of people do that around the holidays. They say, we'll skip all the presents and all the money we normally spend on Christmas this year. Let's get a new ride. Roberts Robinson's ready for you. Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. It doesn't really matter they're in Excelsior Springs. I can say this till I'm blue in the face. You can live in Ottawa, Kansas, and get your car in Excelsior Springs from a great conservative dealership. People that think like you, love their American cars, Chevy, Buick, GMC, and are going to get you the best price. That's a promise. That's an absolute guarantee. The best price at Roberts Robinson. They just cut everything down as you're either ordering your vehicle or if you see one in their inventory at robertsrobinson.com, they'll work with you and give you every incentive, every factory discount, everything. First price. They just go through everything and just cut that price way down. You're going to love it. You're going to love the way they do business. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Seriously, it was just a fantastic experience for me ordering the exact Chevy Blazer I wanted. I get more compliments on this car and the color and the way it drives, and I get good gas mileage, and I love the big sunroof. There's just so much about it I love. And if I didn't, when it arrived, because I hadn't driven it, if I didn't, I'm like, oh, God, I hate that color. They just said, no problem, Kevin. Let's order you a different color. We'll keep this one on the lot and sell it. No obligation. You can order your car, and when it shows up, if it's not exactly what you want, they'll keep it. You don't have to have it. It's really a great way to buy a car. It's maybe the only way to buy a car. Online at robertsrobinson.com. I assume many of you have been following the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Wow. So I'm a little worried in this case that the jury is going to be afraid of acquitting Kyle Rittenhouse, and they're going to come up with something that will send him to jail for a short period of time. Now, the judge made it very clear yesterday that as the jury was sent to deliberations, you get to decide guilt and innocence, and that's it. I decide everything after that. So you don't have to worry about that burden. Just tell me if he's guilty or innocent, and I'll figure out the rest. In other words, I'll do the sentencing. I got this. But take the facts, take what you know, go deliberate and find out. I think they're going to have trouble. I think they're going to have, this has to be unanimous. I think there's going to be a couple of people in the room that are just scared to acquit him, that they know they should, that they know this was self-defense. You've been knocked to the ground, hit in the head with a skateboard. You're being kicked and you're laying on the ground and you're shooting. I don't know what is a better example of self-defense than being knocked to the ground, kicked in the head, or kicked and knocked in the head with a skateboard and having a Glock pointed at you. I can't think of a better case of self-defense. I can't. The question is, do we still respect self-defense in this country? Or is the jury so afraid that somehow a white guy shooting three other white people has become racist, a racist trial? Are we just afraid that BLM and the crazy people on the left are going to go nuts over this trial? Are we so afraid of that that the jury will be influenced? This is a monumental case in the United States of America. It is, because there is absolutely no reason to convict him on any of the murder charges. None. Zero. And everybody knows it. If they do, they're going to ask for a mistrial. A mistrial may be declared. I don't know what the judge can do at that point. I know where the judge stands on this thing. He stands at not guilty. This has been obvious by watching. Anybody who's just following the facts knows that. But if you're on the jury, the real world is Kenosha is not a big place. People in Kenosha know that you're on the jury. Kenosha could be a dangerous place for you when people find out you were on the jury and you acquit this guy. That's where we are. The threats of violence from the left not only are real, they are effective. That's my concern in this case. There is zero reason to convict this man on murder. None. Zero. Zero. And to think that he went there as some active shooter with his AR-15 to go mow people down is also incorrect. Or he would have done that. He didn't. Upon shooting the men, he got up, he put the rifle behind him on his shoulder strap, and he ran to the police with his arms up and turned himself in. And the police said, too much chaos, not tonight. Get out of here, go home. So he did, and he went back 19 miles to Antioch, where he lived, a suburb of Kenosha. It's a suburb. He lived in the suburbs, not downtown Kenosha. He lived 19 miles out in the suburbs. People say, oh, he crossed state lines, he did this and that. Well, yeah, okay. You live in Lee's Summit and you work in Overland Park. Did you cross state lines to go to work? Well, of course you did. You drove 19 miles to work. That's all he was. He's from a suburb of Kenosha. His dad lived in Kenosha proper. He technically lived with his mom in Antioch, which was 19 miles away. And immediately upon doing this, he goes to the police station in Antioch and turns himself in and starts to tell them what happened. I was getting beat up. I was kicked. I was hit in the head with a skateboard. I fired some shots. I don't know what happened to those people. I fled. I went to the Kenosha police. They wouldn't take me. And I came here, and here I am. And that's that. I don't know what else you can do in a case of self-defense. The prosecution, you know, they say they made missteps everywhere, but I don't know. I mean, I think the best chance they have of getting a conviction here is a scared jury. A jury that's afraid to acquit. That's their best chance. So what did this Binger do yesterday? He's the prosecuting attorney. He grabs the assault rifle and points it toward the jury. He brandishes the gun. He's like he's going to shoot. Which, if you ask me, it's a little too close to the Alec Baldwin rust set shooting where an accident happened to be pointing a gun at anyone in a courtroom. I don't know how this was allowed. He didn't point it, I don't think, directly at the jury. It was kind of up above him a little bit and to the right, but it was definitely pointed in their direction for effect so they could see what it was like to have that gun pointed at them. Again, we're talking about jury tampering. We're talking about intimidation. These people have been subjected to threats. This is a scared jury. And what did the prosecuting attorney do in his closing argument? He pointed the AR-15 at them. Everything from the prosecution has been done to scare the jury into a guilty verdict. The facts don't line up. They're trying to scare them. I can't tell you. I don't have a prediction. I'd like to think that if I were on the jury, I could convince 11 other people that we got to go with the facts and it's our civic duty. And if it creates some problems for us personally, maybe we'll move. Maybe I have to move my family from Kenosha to a suburb south of Chicago somewhere. This is basically all the Chicagoland area. Maybe I have to move 50 miles away. You move to Chicago, people won't know who you are. They won't. Maybe that's inconvenient. Maybe you have to do it. Maybe it sucks. But you have to do the right thing. You can't send a guy to prison for 20 years for something that he didn't do by the law. But I can't tell you I know. What I know is the entire time they've just been trying to scare this jury. YouTube, during the trial, it is so one-sided and so lopsided. Groups were popping up everywhere doing live streams of this with commentary. And just regular people started making fun of the trial, making fun of the prosecutors because they've been so haphazard. Dana Lash, the radio show host, nicknamed the two lawyers stepbrothers from the Will Ferrell movie, where he and the, I forget the other guy's name, Riley, something, is it John C. Riley, played the stepbrothers that were just hapless fools. That's right. That's what these attorneys have looked like. But it'll work if they can scare them. If they can scare the jury, it may work. I'm praying. This is a big moment for America. It's not the OJ trial. What did we learn in the OJ trial? I don't know what we learned in the OJ trial. We know everybody knew he was guilty and he got off. And that's a complete sham and a shame. And they kept after him and they wound up jailing him for a long, long time on other charges because he's a fool. And you find a way to get people eventually if they're guilty. The reverse of something, I don't know. I don't know what happens. So I'm keeping an eye on it because I think juries matter. I think the law matters. I think following the truth matters. And I would like to think that social media and the culture that we have in this country today are not at such a place where juries will just say, we're going to convict someone because we're afraid of what happens if we don't. That will be a sad, sad day for America. It is a sad, sad day for people in Austria. Austria now has a lockdown from their government. This is the place that allowed a brothel. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I think I wrote this in the newsletter over the weekend. There's a brothel in Austria that wasn't doing very well during the pandemic for obvious reasons. So they came up with a ploy where you can go to the brothel and if you get the COVID shot, free entry, come to the brothel, get the shot, have a glass of orange juice, whatever. Then you get a free 30-minute private session at the brothel, just for coming and getting the shot. Austria allowed this. They allow it for teenage boys, 14 and up, if a parent brings them and consents. You can take your 14-year-old, this is really important. You can take your 14-year-old son in Austria, or technically daughter, I don't mean to be gender exclusive here, or biased. You can take your 14-year-old son to the brothel, get the jab, send him back to a room for a half an hour, give him some happy time in a private session with a woman, and go home like nothing happened, and live freely in Austria. But if you say, I'm not so sure about this vaccine for my minor child. Maybe at age 14, it's not exactly my decision. We know that 14-year-olds don't die from COVID. My kid is safe. I'm not going to make him get it right now. If you do that, well, you don't get to go to the brothel with your son. And now you're on lockdown. Austria has announced they're locking down only the unvaccinated. Complete lockdown. You have no freedom. You cannot go out. You're unvaccinated, you stay home. Lockdown for the unvaccinated. Of course, the Biden administration now has representatives saying, hey, they may be onto something. I dare them to do this here. I dare the Biden administration to try this. I will go, if the Biden administration does this, if it becomes, I'm not vaccinated, if it becomes mandated that I can't leave my house, I don't care how cold it is, I'm going to go get arrested swimming in the Nichols Fountain. I'm going to do it. If that's what it gets to, right here where I live, that I am locked down because I didn't take a shot, you're going to see me get arrested on the news. I'm going swimming in the fountain. They can come get me. They can find me. They can do whatever. And I will simply wait to hear from the best conservative lawyers in Kansas and Missouri that want the case, and we will go fight it. We'll go fight it. I promise you I will do this. You will not lock me down in my home. I've had COVID. I have the antibodies. The CDC said last week not one single case in America of anybody that previously had COVID, declined the shot, has spread COVID to another person. Not one person in this country. The CDC says they have not found one person that's done that. I'm in a category of 0 for 330 million. You are not locking me down. Hell, I'm sure some of you will go swimming with me. Let's do it as a big group. Let's cause mayhem. I dare the Biden administration to try this, what they're doing in Austria. Double dare. Marion Body Shop is Kansas City's finest. I had a buddy, Jimmy, send me an email yesterday. Really good dude. And he said, I'm looking at getting my wife's car detailed. And I said, yes, yes, yes. Before we go any further on this email thread, the answer is yes. You will not get a better detail job anywhere than the folks at Marion Body Shop, the new car image. It's a little complicated to explain. The body shop is on Merriam Drive by Johnson Drive. New car image is just down the street at I-35 right next to the Acura dealership. They're about a mile apart, but they work as the same business. It's all the same company. It's just that they do the body work in one location and the detailing another. I described the detailing place. I went there and I got a door ding taken out, right? Because I had my Blazer a week and my wife dinged the door. She did. She doesn't, it happened. It was a very tiny one. But I go by there and Jason takes it out there and it just did a great job. It took about 10 minutes while you wait. It's the kind of place that when you get your car detailed or you want to get a door ding out, you just call them and say, hey, how about Wednesday at 3? And they go, okay. You go there Wednesday at 3 and you wait on it and they get it done and there's dogs in the lobby. They all bring their dogs to work. It's that kind of place. This is not a corporate place. It's loaded with conservatives. It's people who really care about your car. I say this about Marion Body Shop. They like your car more than you do. They do. And Justin at Marion Body Shop is ready to see you. Whether it's door dings, a fender bender, or a complete collision repair, Marion Body Shop's got you covered. 913-362-1198 for Marion Body Shop. And, of course, my friends at bstock.net, it is Black Friday the entire month of November, and they're not kidding. Low, low prices on all things electronics, computers, accessories, televisions. It's all at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Here's the deal with Black Friday ads as they start to pop up. If you see a Black Friday ad that you like somewhere else, B-Stock will beat it. I'm going to say they'll match it. They're going to beat it. Anything you see advertised that B-Stock has in stock, they will beat the price. So forget the other Black Friday specials. They'll beat any of those. Their regular price probably beats the Black Friday price anyway. That's the way it works at bstock.net. All right, our last news item here is kind of gross, so I wanted to give it a disclaimer before I get into it. We say sports, politics, and life on this podcast, so clearly this falls under the category of life. This is so disgusting and disturbing, and I watched it, not in a way like violence does to me, okay? I didn't watch somebody get killed. I know people are freaky. I know people have weird things, weird fetishes, all kinds of sick stuff that I wouldn't do. I try really hard not to judge people. As long as they're not harming someone else, as long as people are consenting adults to whatever it is that they want to do in their personal life, go live your personal life. But don't subject me to it. Don't tell me I have to do it or I'm bad for not doing it. Just don't. There's enough people on the planet to know that there's some weird, sick, bizarre people. I get it. And we've seen some strange things happen at rock concerts before. Ozzy bit the head off a bat one time, right? Was that Ozzy that did that? We've seen some weird stuff at rock shows. Daytona Beach this weekend, they had a music festival, and they had basically what's known as a cover band called Brass Against. It's a big band. It's like 9 people up there. There's horns. There's all kinds of stuff. But they're edgy, hard rock, with horns. You know what I'm saying? The lead singer is Sophia Yurista. Sophia's got white pants on. She's got big hair. She's dancing around. She's mostly screaming. And there's a video that you can watch. And I've never seen it. I can tell you this, 57 years on this globe, I've never seen anything like it. She says it's a fan that comes up off the floor and they give him a can. It looks more like a security guy from down front. Big, strong, strapping dude. It looks more like a security guy. And maybe there's a can person off the side of the stage that if somebody in the band has to pee, they go over and pee in a can. I don't know how it works. I'm not a rock star. That's what the ruse, something here was about the can. And apparently they put the can on the guy's head and he's laying down on the stage. They bring him up on stage. He's laying down, the can's on. She drops her pants and starts trying to pee in the can while the can gets knocked off. She just urinates all over this guy. And he doesn't move. He doesn't flinch. He gets up. He splashes it around on his hair and his face and sprays it on the audience. She pulls her pants up. It's over. You can see it all. It is disgusting. Disgusting. And as I watch this, I'm asking myself, why did I just see that? Why did I hit play? Why did I watch it? Well, I don't know. I still don't have that answer. I can't unsee it now. Again, it doesn't rise to the level of violence to me. I've told you that I don't like violent things. I've had a couple things happen that I've seen that were violent enough that were disturbing. One, well, I've seen a couple things in person. Those weren't as disturbing as images that I saw on screen. One in a film and one in real time in a live news conference. I haven't mentioned that to you before. I've told you about the Deer Hunter when I was 12 years old or 13. I was too young to see the movie. I shouldn't have seen it, and I'll never forget it. I don't ever want to see it again. But when I worked in television very early in my career, probably only 23 years old, I was watching a news conference on a satellite feed one time in, I don't know, Virginia or Maryland or something. A politician had been shamed. He was in some sort of love triangle. Maybe he embezzled some money. And he was a congressman or something, and he was having a news conference to resign in shame. And as he's resigning in shame, he reaches down next to the table, and he picks up a plastic paper bag, a paper sack. And he clearly has his hand in the sack, and you can't see that there's a gun inside the sack. And he puts it in his mouth, and he shoots himself right there on live TV. And I saw it, and I could never unwatch it. And I didn't know that was happening. I wasn't watching to see that happen. This time I was watching something to see it happen. It's not a guy taking his own life on live satellite feed. But wow, is it disgusting and disturbing. And I'm just chalking this up to COVID. I know we chalk a lot of things up to COVID. I told you the world was getting really funky, that people were really getting bizarre. I don't know how else to say it. Maybe it isn't just because people are batspit crazy right now because of lockdowns, mandates, hysteria, fear, paranoia, you name it. But it's one of the strangest things I've ever seen. The band apologized for Sophia, said that's not really like her. Well, yeah, probably is. Probably is. Okay, let's move on to sports here. And Missouri lost to Kansas City, 80-66. Billy Donnellan's in his third year as the coach of the Ruse. It's his first Power 5 win. Evan Gilliard had 28 points. He had a tremendous game. UMKC, I still call him that. KC played very well. 51% from the field, 48% from three. you can be wide open all night and not hit 48% from three. So it was a good night for Kansas City. I am not dismissing the lowness, the low point of Missouri losing to Kansas City. But before we jump on the fire Konzo Martin bandwagon, and he may lose his job at the end of this year, this is certainly a warning shot that he might not be up for this. So people have kind of been murmuring that anyway. Before we do that, this is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. This is the second loss in a row for Missouri against Kansas City. UMKC beat Missouri in 2014, and then the series was stopped, presumably by the Tigers. Then it was started 7 years later, and here we are 7 years later, and they did it again. Billy Donlin's a legitimate basketball coach. He does not have great players. He doesn't. He is a legitimate basketball coach. I'll draw a comparison. The second he showed up, just by watching KC play and the way they did things, my comparison for Billy Donlin is Lance Leipold at KU. You've just inherited an impossible situation, but you're a better coach than the other guy. That's going to give you a chance a lot of nights, especially early in the season. If you're better coached early on and you limit your turnovers and you cut and you backdoor and you get easy looks, if you're doing that, you can beat a team with better players, and that's what occurred. They didn't just beat a team with better players. They sliced and diced them. It was just coaching. It's coaching. Billy Donlin's a good coach. He's a very good coach. He would do just fine. This is not Billy Donovan. Billy Donlin. He would do just fine in the SEC or the Big 12. This guy can coach. And he's a little bit Ted Lasso. Now that I watch Ted Lasso, he's optimistic. He's upbeat. It's always about the players. A good thing is going to happen. You just watch. He's got that. He's got that little something. So I'm happy for Billy Donlin. I'm happy for Kansas City. I'm bummed for Mizzou. I don't know how much it matters to Tiger fans, to be honest. I don't know. When I was covering Mizzou, I covered him for almost 10 years at Channel 4. I mean every home game. I went on the road with him in the NCAA tournament. I was like the Mizzou beat reporter for Channel 4 for 10 years. And it was a blast. And it was passionate, and it mattered. And I would go cover the football games, and they didn't matter as much. Mizzou became a football school. That was clear under Gary Pinkel. Everything changed. They joined the SEC. I don't know how to judge the fabric of the university now, if basketball is an afterthought or if it's just older fans that long for the days of Norm Stewart, number one in the country, you know, deep runs in the tournament, or even you'd be thrilled to be a two seed and get upset in the NCAA tournament right now, just to have great basketball in a full arena. And that's what it was all about. And I just don't sense that. I sense it's more K-State now. I sense that Mizzou is more K-State than uniquely Mizzou. That football matters. And if basketball's good, we want to be good in basketball. And when it is, we'll jump on board and that'll be fun and we'll be happy. But when it's not, it doesn't bother us as bad as if football's bad. So maybe that's what Mizzou is. I can't speak to that. I don't know. But I don't sense this is the end of the world for Missouri Tiger fans. I do sense it could be the beginning of the end for Konzo Martin. But it's too early to say a coach isn't keeping his job. We've seen way too many basketball teams lose games like this in November and go on and have winning seasons and be 3-4 seeds in the NCAA tournament. So I don't really know. But Mizzou loses 80-66. It was the second time in a row Missouri has lost to Kansas City. That's crazy. Fry Orthodontics is a proud sponsor of KKHI. Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team would love to provide you with the smile of a lifetime. At Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. Free retainers for life, Invisalign the same price as braces, fewer appointments, less time missed, and they are on time every time at Fry Orthodontics. You got to love that. Adults, guys, come on. Straighten that smile. They can help you out at Fry Orthodontics. Costs less than you think, and you'll have a confidence that you haven't had in years. Go fix your smile at Fry Orthodontics. And Amazing Garage Floors, 2 weeks from today, John Hutchins will be at my house. Going to get that new garage floor. I'm very excited about this. Too late to seal your driveway. The weather's too cold. It's too damp, whatever. But they can do driveways pretty much through the holidays. They only shut down for a few weeks in the really cold winter. If you'd like to get on the schedule for an amazing garage floor, call Hutch at 913-901-7139 or log on to amazinggaragefloors.net. A high school football player, I like these crossover stories. This is a good one. This is sports and politics. A high school football player in New Hampshire was suspended in September when he stated in school, during an exercise, during class, during a whatever, that there are only two genders. They got a big, big gender thing going on at this New Hampshire high school. And they're open to all genders. And there's more than just two. We're going to recognize more here at this school. He said he believes there are only two genders, male and female. And he was suspended for a football game. He got some great lawyers. And now they have filed a lawsuit against the school district and the state because his suspension is unconstitutional for a violation of his free speech and the New Hampshire Bill of Rights because he was expressing religious beliefs. It's a double lawsuit. I don't know how you lose this lawsuit. How could you possibly lose the lawsuit? The question is, what are the damages? When he wins, what are the damages? You're suing for damages, right? This is not criminal. So what are the damages? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you judge something like that. To me, it's a minor that has been suspended and taken away his right to play football. I think these cases are important. This may sound frivolous. This is important. This is the Constitution of the United States. It's the New Hampshire Bill of Rights. It's a minor child taken away from activity because he said he believes there are two genders. This case needs to go forward. If it has to go to the Supreme Court, let's go. Let's get it there. Let's win it. Let's put it on the books so no school district ever does this again. Because a lot of people like the term reverse discrimination. I don't like that. I don't like that term. I think there's discrimination and there's discrimination and there's discrimination. And that's it. This is clear discrimination. This is siding with one school of thought of what your interpretation of what genders are over another and suspending a kid for it for saying it. You've enacted policy to try to not discriminate against transgenders or somebody who thinks they're non-binary or I don't know what the terms are, whatever. Whatever the other sexes are, you're trying to enact policy to not discriminate against that small, tiny, less than 1% of the population in America. In doing so, this is like Title IX. You know, they came up with Title IX. It was not developed for college athletics, but what it did was, while trying to create opportunities for women in college sports, it just destroyed thousands and thousands of scholarships for men. It just crushed men. That's not reverse discrimination. That's just discrimination. And this is the same way. So in your attempt to try to not discriminate against a tiny sliver of group, you cannot discriminate against the majority. You cannot do that. You can't just say it's okay to discriminate against the majority of people in America. I mean, what are the number of people in America that believe there are two sexes, male and female? That's got to be over 90%. That has to be. I mean, right? So these are important lawsuits. It's not some frivolous thing. At the same time, Josh Hawley, who I love, great senator from the state of Missouri, has developed the Bill of Rights for Parents as it pertains to schools. Josh Hawley is going to present this as a bill in the Senate for vote. And I love this because he's going to put, if nothing else, Democrats on notice to say, nope, you're not for this. I dare a Democrat to vote against this. Here's Josh Hawley's Parents' Bill of Rights for schools and federal funding. I'll do them quickly because there's eight of them. And some of these I'll abbreviate. The right one, the right to know what their minor child is being taught. There's more to it, but that's it. Number two, the right to information on who is teaching their minor child. The right to information on individuals and organizations receiving contracts and funding. The right to visit the school and check in on my minor child during school hours. The right to all school records, medical or otherwise, concerning your minor child. The right to information about the collection and transmission of your minor child's data. The right to have sufficient accountability and transparency regarding school boards. And the right to know about situations affecting their minor child's safety at school. That's it. This is what I love about Josh Hawley. He's not only the smartest guy in the room, he's Missouri simple. He's mid-America plain spoken. Right? This guy, he's really smart, Ivy League, Harvard, all the stuff. Like, he can just sit there and argue Supreme Court cases all day. Or he can be the most down-home, you know, Southwest Missouri area, Ozarks kind of guy you ever knew. And he did it right there with those eight. That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Put that up for vote in the Senate, and let's see what Democrats vote against that. I think that would just be fantastic. Sunday night football. Well, Sunday night, the ratings are in. We talked about how Sunday night was going. Again, this might have been in the newsletter and not the podcast. You guys need to subscribe to the Patreon program and get the newsletter. It's fun. The newsletter comes every weekend. And I thought, boy, Sunday night is battleground. We had Sunday night. We had the Chiefs Raiders. We had the Adele music special with Oprah Winfrey and week two of Yellowstone. So let's put this into perspective. It used to be Sunday night football would draw about 23, 24 million viewers. That was some 5 years ago. So a lot of the numbers and things have gone down in football. We've seen that. Things have splintered off. There's a lot of streaming. Television has changed. But Sunday night football is still a monster. I'll explain why in a moment. The Adele thing was going to be big, and Yellowstone the week before was outrageous. Week one, I do not have Yellowstone's numbers from Sunday night, but in week one, Yellowstone total live viewers, now it runs twice, okay, it runs back to back, so it kind of circumvents time zones. Like it may get 8 or 9 million the first hour, then the second hour it's more people on the West Coast watching because now they're home. 14.7 million people watched Yellowstone live. Chiefs Sunday Night Football at 7 o'clock started at 13.8 million and finished at 14.1 million. It was steady all night, but it was very good. Adele started at 7 o'clock. She started with 10 million viewers, then she went to 9 million viewers, then 8 million viewers. Clearly that show was too long. It was 3 hours of Oprah talking to her and then singing some songs. People got tired of it. Thought, well, I'll try to watch something else here. And they did. But that's unbelievable that Yellowstone on cable is competing with that. Yellowstone is an absolute runaway monster hit. Here's the crazy part about Sunday night now. It's the biggest night of television. I know I'm a TV geek. I'm a ratings geek. I'm a broadcasting geek. The highest rated point of Sunday night is always 6 o'clock on CBS. It's technically the beginning of primetime on Sunday, but most nights it's not. Primetime begins at 7 o'clock on other nights, but 60 Minutes has always been on at 6 o'clock. And it still gets really good ratings. There are a lot of people that have just watched 60 Minutes for 30 years, and every Sunday night at 6, they watch. There are already massive numbers of people watching NFL football. Well, 60 Minutes never starts at 6 o'clock during football season because there's always a 3:15 or 3:20 Jim Nance game that's going to run until 6:30. It's going to. The highest rated half hour of the week in America is 6. This is Kansas City time, Central time. 6 o'clock to 6:30. On Sunday during football season, because you have millions watching a football game that aren't going anywhere. Then you have millions tuning in because they want to see the beginning of 60 Minutes and they can't, they don't have a timer. They have to watch the end of football to see the beginning of 60 Minutes. This is crazy. Again, Yellowstone, almost 15 million. Sunday Night Football, 14 million. Adele, 10 million. The last 30 minutes of CBS football at 6 o'clock, 19 million viewers. Insane numbers there. That's some crazy, crazy stuff. KKHI does not have 19 million listeners. We don't. But we're growing every day, and we have you to thank. And you're great with our sponsors, and you love to support people like Ron Buck at Buck Roofing. Got an email from a gentleman that lives an hour outside of Kansas City. No problem. Ron's going to be doing the roof. Boom. No sweat. You don't have to live in Kansas City to have Ron fix your roof or get your new roof. Just call him. They'll do the job. 913-384-2680 online at rbuckroofing.com. And Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Custom homes, commercial properties, room additions, they do it all, and it's high-end and it's gorgeous. Seriously, even if you're not in the market, go look at his portfolio. Go check out these condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. They're really cool. The Solheim at Grandmere Condominiums in Manhattan, a really special place and a great investment opportunity for you. We finish with the Manning Cast. Yeah, the Manning Cast. Manning Cast on Monday night was fun. The 49ers were tearing the Rams apart. The Manning Cast had Phil Mickelson on in the second quarter. And I think the fun now is, these are people that know Peyton Manning. The fun now is to take a shot at Peyton. Nobody really takes shots at Eli. Peyton's kind of the foil of this thing now. He's the star of it, clearly, but he's also the foil. And Phil just immediately came on and said, man, I'm pleased to be here, but I just want to let you guys know, you know, like, I'm available this weekend because I'm not playing golf. There's now something called the Manning Cast curse. If you've been on the Manning Cast, you lose. Brady came on, has lost two straight. Josh Allen came on, they lost to the Jaguars. Travis Kelce came on and got three catches for 31 yards, something like that. Everyone that's been on, shortly after they're on, bad things happen. Well, that puts Phil Mickelson out of a golf tournament this week. Now, I'm not playing this week. I'm on the Manning cast this week. He just won Sunday. He won a senior tournament. So he's not playing this week, which is fun. Draymond Green was on. Draymond Green is known as a truth teller. He's a trash talker. He plays for the Warriors in the NBA. Likeable enough sort. Just tells it like it is. You know I like people like that. So he comes on and Eli says, you got anything? Draymond, you got anything? You just want to, you know, smack talk or if you were smack talking with Peyton or something, what would you say? And Draymond Green says, oh, this was easy. If I smack talking Peyton Manning, I'd say, hey, don't forget, you may be a Hall of Famer, but you're not as great as you think you are. Your coach cut you. And I was like, uh-oh, this is awkward. And Peyton went, whoa. It, remember, he got cut from the Colts, essentially. The Colts quit on him. That's when he went to Denver and won another Super Bowl. He got cut. And I don't know that they'll say exactly the same thing about Tom Brady. There was a belief in Indianapolis that Peyton Manning would never be healthy enough to play again. And they let him go. It was really funny. It might have been predetermined and rehearsed. I don't know. But it was great to hear Draymond Green say that. And I think it's funny that Peyton Manning can take shots at himself the way he does. I like watching the Manning cast. Again, I flip around. It's not on every week. I don't sit and watch it for 3 hours. You can't. You catch bits and pieces. And a lot of it depends on when their guest is on and who the guest is. And that was pretty fun on Monday night with Phil Mickelson saying he's skipping the golf tournament because of the Manning cast curse. And Draymond Green with a truth bomb saying, Peyton, you're not as great as they all said you were. Remember, you got cut. Your coach cut you. And that's true. He did. Fun stuff. If you want to be a patron, go sign up at kksissues.com. We'll be doing the Between the Lines 2.0 podcast later on this Tuesday with Danny Klinkscale joining us to talk some sports, politics, and life. And a future podcast this week, bonus podcast coming in the newsletter on the weekend. Or hit the like or follow button or just tell a friend about the podcast to help grow the audience. We really appreciate that. And as always, thank you for being here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.